Hello and welcome to this SearchSecurity.com podcast, Essential Questions to Ask on Database Security. I'm Kara Gatine. Thanks for being with us. In today's Key Questions to Ask podcast, we'll discuss some of the essential questions that need to be asked and answered during the development and deployment of a data-driven web application to ensure that flaws in the design of the database don't put data at risk. Joining me today is Mike Cobb. Mike is a renowned security author and founder and managing director of Cobb Web Applications, a consultancy that offers IT training and support in database security and analysis. Thanks for joining us today, Mike. Before we begin, I want to mention that this podcast is part of a lesson in SearchSecurity.com's Database Security Issues Security School lesson. It's one of many lessons that you can visit at any time by navigating to searchsecurity.com/securityschool. Okay, let me explain our format. I'll present Mike with an essential question, and he'll explain why it's important to get an answer. Mike, let's begin. Our first question: why is the constant monitoring of user permissions such an important aspect of database security?
Within any organization, there will be a certain level of staff turnover, employees leaving or joining, and also changing jobs within the organization. This means user accounts need to be regularly checked to ensure that they still have the correct access permissions and privileges for the employee's current job. Also, when a restructuring occurs within an organization, or even just within a department, an employee's job title may not change, but their responsibilities will. Database administrators need to work closely with those in HR in order to keep database privileges aligned with each employee's tasks and responsibilities. It's best to have a written procedure that documents the actions HR need to complete when there are changes to personnel or personnel roles, and one of these should be to notify database administrators so that database privileges can be adjusted and redundant accounts closed. These checks will certainly help reduce the occurrences of misassigned privileges and their misuse.
All right, Mike, let's move on to the next question. How important is the separation of database administrators' duties?
A lack of segregation of duties is a significant contributing factor in almost all occurrences of fraud, and is often found to be a weakness during post-analysis of successful attempts to compromise the database. Segregation of duties means that the steps in key processes are divided amongst two or more people so that no one individual can act alone to subvert a process for their own gain or purposes. Segregation helps deter errors and irregularities by those developing, accessing, or administering databases. The separation of development, test and production database environments is also a best practice, and it's mandated in many regulatory requirements and standards. Developers should only have access to the development environment because of the high level of access that they have. Where possible, implement assignment rotations for database administrators and ensure that they are forced to take at least 1 2-week holiday a year. Such a mandatory vacation policy can help privilege abuse come to light. Another benefit of separation of duties is that it makes information gathering harder for attackers, as they need to obtain information from a greater number of people in order to launch an attack.
Mike, here's another one. You mentioned auditing administer and developer actions. How important is this? What actions should be logged and audited?
Auditing database activity is a core component of any data security program and is a vital control for tracking user activity, and again is a common regulatory requirement. A weak database audit policy represents a serious risk. Auditing makes individual users accountable for their actions and so acts as a deterrent. It can also identify the existence of a violation after the fact, providing forensic evidence to link intruders to a crime. I would suggest as a minimum a database should log on and log off activity, administrative activity and any use of system privileges, critical object access, failed queries, system grants as user privileges are added or removed through grant statements, and metadata changes to capture any alterations to the database structure. Audit records need to be stored on a secondary system to reduce the likelihood that unauthorized activity recorded in the audit trail can be changed. And remember, these logs need to be reviewed and analyzed for unusual activity. Otherwise, there's no point logging these events.
Mike, can you explain what you mean by the separation of database environments?
It's essential to set up a development environment and a production environment, and preferably a testing environment too. Each of these environments should use distinct application and database servers, with each one configured for its particular role. Security in non-production systems typically needs to be less robust in order to facilitate speed and flexibility during development and testing. To start with, far more employees, such as developers and system engineers, need privileged low-level access to the data. This type of access is just not appropriate for production databases, hence the need for non-production environments, so that development and testing can be carried out without impacting or endangering the production database and its data. Also remember that non-production databases should always use test data because of these increased risks, and if attackers do get access to the data, it will be of no value to them.
All right, Mike. Can XML be used as a database?
XML is a really useful technology for moving data between different databases or between databases and other programs. However, XML is not a database. It's a markup language that defines a set of rules for encoding documents in a format that is both human-readable and machine-readable. It's not a retrieval mechanism, so it doesn't scale, particularly if there are a lot of updates, inserts, or deletes in the data. It should certainly never be used as a primary data source, particularly as with NoSQL databases, there is little built-in security. XML is fine for storing small amounts of data, like configuration data, but this doesn't make it a database. To keep data secure, always use a traditional relational database management system, such as Oracle's MySQL or Microsoft's SQL Server, as these have built-in security, privacy, and data integrity features. These types of databases provide confidentiality, integrity, and availability for data through integrated controls such as role-based security, encrypted communications, support for row and field access controls, as well as access control through user-level permissions on stored procedures. RDBMS databases also have atomicity, consistency, isolation, and durability properties that guarantee database transactions are processed reliably.
Mike, here's our last question. How should a database error message be handled?
Database error messages are useful to an attacker because they can give additional information about a database or the system it's running on that may not otherwise be available. Hackers typically test for SQL injection vulnerabilities by sending the database inappropriate input to try and generate an invalid SQL query. If the database then returns an error message, the attacker can use information gained from these error messages to finesse the code needed to construct a successful SQL injection attack. It's important, of course, to log errors so that administrators can investigate any problems, but the database should be prevented from returning any specific details about the error to the user. And by the way, it's important to check that all debug error handlers have been removed from the production code, as these can also leak information about the design and structure of the database to a potential attacker.
Mike, as we wrap things up, what other aspects of database security do enterprises tend to overlook?
I tend to find that data backup processes and disaster recovery plans are never really tested to see if they work correctly, and emergency response teams actually know what they're meant to do. Usually when a new database is rolled out, a backup program is put in place and the disaster recovery program, if there is one, is updated. But nobody really tests whether the written procedures and actions actually work in reality. The impact of the loss of data or the loss of access to data can be devastating to most businesses, and more time and attention should be given to making sure data can be recovered quickly if the need arises. And of course, archive media needs to be stored in the appropriate environmental conditions. This is another area that many enterprises tend to overlook. Storage facilities need to minimize the risk of damage from airborne pollutants such as dust and maintain a constant temperature and humidity, as large fluctuations in either can cause problems for certain types of media. Also, the risk of magnetic fields and natural disasters such as fire and flood also need to be mitigated. These precautions will increase any media's longevity and reduce the chances of data loss. Even with the correct storage facilities, you will still need to periodically audit your storage media for readability and the integrity of data files by running checksum checks. This will enable you to prevent any problems of wear and tear becoming a crisis. The cloud has also opened up new options when it comes to backup and recovery. But again, such services need to be tested, particularly to check the recovery team and the cloud provider understand exactly who's responsible for what data and which aspects of an incident will be handled by whom. And finally, I'd just like to reiterate the importance of encrypting backup media. Backup data is just as valuable as live data, so it needs to be treated with the same care and attention.
And that'll do it for this Essentials Questions podcast. Mike Cobb, founder and managing director of Cobb Web Applications, thanks so much for joining us today. And thank you for listening. For more learning materials, be sure to visit the other lessons in our security school at searchsecurity.com/securityschool. I'm Kara Gattin. Have a great day.